I were to give a title to my message, it would be "Thanks, Dad." Today is Father's Day, and as you fathers have been reminded several times already this morning, so once again I say Happy Father's Day to all the dads that are here. The telephone company tells us that Father's Day is not the most popular day for long-distance calls. Mother's Day wins that hands down. Father's Day doesn't even come in second. Christmas does. Father's Day comes third, and a distant third at that. But Father's Day is the greatest moneymaker, because on this day, there are more collect calls that are made than any other day of the year. So, Happy Father's Day. This is a special day in the life of our dads. So we're going to talk about some positive aspects of fatherhood. And to do that, we're going to be talking about, of course, the scripture that's found in the 15th chapter of Luke that Elaine just read. Of course, it's the familiar story of the prodigal son, but especially to the father of the prodigal son. He's a good father. In fact, he's a perfect father, because as Jesus tells the story, he is picturing our Father who is in heaven. So we're going to take a look at five characteristics of this father as revealed in Luke 15. First of all, he provided for the basic needs of his family. The father in the story of the prodigal son was fairly well-to-do. He had an estate. He had an inheritance for his son that was large enough so that his son could enjoy an extravagant lifestyle for a period of time. He had enough money so that he could put a ring on his son's finger and kill the fatted calf and put a robe on his shoulder and hire musicians to have a big party of celebration when he came home. So, he must have been a man of means. We've always recognized, especially on Father's Day, that part of the job of every father is to provide for his family, to make sure there is food, shelter, clothing. The U.S. Department of Agriculture conducts a survey every year to determine the cost of living. They study the spending of 5,000 families to find out just how much it costs to raise children in this country. The findings are rather interesting. The latest figures I have indicate that if you're in the average family of their survey, making about $60,000 a year and raising two children, it costs you about $11,972 per child per year. And as they get older, it gets a little more expensive. And by the time your child is a teenager, he or she will be costing you $13,253 per year. Now, add all that up. And by the time a child reaches 18 or gets out of high school, you will have spent $223,860 per child, and that doesn't even include college. So if they go to college, you're going to spend another $300,000 per child that you raise. And if you have two children, just double that. Think about it. That equals the cost of a small yacht or a luxury home. So you can just look at your kids and say, there goes the yacht that I wanted. There goes that luxury home that I wanted. Or there goes those six Mercedes-Benz that I'd like to have had. That's a lot of money, isn't it? That's the reason they say, Dad's the guy who has a wallet full of pictures where there used to be money. So, if you're critical of your dad because you thought he didn't provide enough for you, or you thought you didn't have all the opportunities other kids had, or you thought you didn't have the clothes you wanted, or you thought you didn't go to all the places that you wanted to go, you may want to pause this day on Father's Day and say, "Thanks, Dad. Thanks for being a good provider." Secondly, this father was generous beyond what could reasonably be expected. Listen to verses 11 and 12. It said, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them." Now, if you just put that into our language, or contemporary language, it probably sounds something like this. Now, here's a boy. He's 18, 19, 20. And he comes to his dad and he says, "Dad, I've calculated it all, and I've come to the conclusion that when you die, I'm going to inherit about $250,000. Well, I want my share right now. I don't want to wait until you die." And to our great surprise, the father gives it to him. That's exceeding generosity. And we would come to question his wisdom. But I think the father probably knew a little bit more than you and I know. He knew that his son was going to the far country anyway, and he knew that there were lessons his son had to learn on his own. He knew what was best for those who stayed behind, so he gave him his inheritance. Now that's generosity. Has your dad been generous to you? Does he provide food and clothing and shelter for you? Is he generous with his time? Does he talk with you and share with you? Then say to him, "Thanks, Dad." Thirdly, this dad gave his son space when it was appropriate. He gave each of them space to be his own person. Not long after that, it says in verse 13, the younger son got together all that he had, and he set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. The hardest thing for parents to do is to turn your children loose, right? Remember the first day of school when you walked them to the bus stop and you watched them get on? Remember when they went to camp for the first time and they were gone all week long? Remember when they drove for the first time without you in the car and you were so afraid? Remember when they went to college and you left them at the dormitory? Remember when you walked your daughter down the aisle and you gave her to a man that you knew was not good enough for her? Those are tough times in parenting. So, if you have had a father who was wise enough to turn you loose and let you become the person that God created you to be, then say, "Thanks, Dad." Fourthly, this father was willing to forgive serious offense and move on. Let's continue with the story. And in verse 14, it said, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. Now, this was probably and evidently the first time in that boy's life that he ever needed anything, because always his dad had been there. And now he's in a faraway country, he's hungry, he's cold, and he's homeless. For the first time, he's in need, and it's a new experience for him. So, it says in verse 15, so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. For those of us who have grown up on a farm, we know that feeding pigs is about the lowest job on the farm, is it not? And if you were a Jewish boy who had been brought up to believe that pigs were unclean, then this was the lowest task imaginable. Jesus is telling the story so that we'll see that this boy has come from the highest high to the lowest low. Continuing on, he longed to fill his stomach with the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. So when he came to his senses, now those are important words. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death?" This is when the child says, "Duh," and the light in the brain goes off. And he says, "This doesn't make sense. I left home when I thought that Dad's rules were too strict. I left home because I didn't like it there. I left home thinking that my life on my own would be much better. But here I am, hungry and feeding pigs. This is about as bad as it can get. Duh. This is ridiculous. I need to do something else." So he says that he set out to go back to his father and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired men." Now I want you to notice that word, make. Here's the big difference. Before his appearance in the hog lot, the boy was constantly saying to his father, "Give me, give me, give me, give me. This is mine. I want what's mine. Give me my inheritance now." But now he's ready to go home, and he's ready to say, "Make me." Everybody needs to travel that road. When you finally graduate from saying to God, "Give me, give me," to the place where you're saying, "God, make me. Make me into the kind of person that you want me to be." When you can say that, you have graduated to where God can begin to mold and make you into what you ought to be. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. So he ran to his son and he threw his arms around him. He kissed him. Isn't that a great scene? Just think about it. Here is this son, this rebellious son, coming back home again. Now, if it had been you or I, we probably would have given him an earful. We would have probably said, "Here you are, just look at you. You smell awful, you're broke, you're destitute, you wasted all your money, and now you've come back for more? You're an embarrassment to the family. You're a failure. Do you realize what you've done to your mother?" Now that's the great line. That always gets them. "Do you realize the agony you put her through? She worried herself sick. Then just as we were beginning to get on with our lives, you come back and you want to stir it up all again. It's too late. We just don't want to deal with you anymore." But no. The father Jesus was telling about, while his son was still a long way off, saw him, ran to him, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Now while the son is saying to his father, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." The father is saying to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. It's tough to be forgiven, isn't it? Maybe on this Father's Day, it would be a good thing to say once again, "Thanks, Dad." Here's the fifth and the final thought. He loved his son equally, even though he handled them differently. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and he asked him, "What's going on?" "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound." The old brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. Now the situation is very different, isn't it? The two sons are different. One stays and does the everyday task. The other one has this wild streak in him and goes to the far country. They're very different boys, so you cannot handle them in the same way. You love them the same, but you handle them in different ways. But he answered his father, "Look at all those years I've been slaving for you. I never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him." "My son," the father says, "you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found." You may not handle your kids the same way, but you love them equally. Thanks, Dad. My dad was a very, very special man. He was a country preacher. He was meek. He was mild. He was quiet. He was serious. And in my eyes, he was perfect. Never, ever, ever heard him raise his voice. Throughout his years of ministry in the Lumbee Methodist Conference, he probably served at every church in that conference. The last 5 years of his life, he served as the bishop of that conference. At the last annual conference that November, I learned that even church folk can be vindictive. My father had made a church appointment that didn't set well with one church. A group of so-called concerned members of that church sent my dad a registered letter. 2 days later, my dad suffered a fatal heart attack. My mother never let us know the content of that letter. You've heard it said, "Sticks and bones can sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never harm you." Don't believe it. I believe that my dad died of a broken heart. Today is a day that you call your dad with special words of thanks and gratitude. Our Heavenly Father, he's taken care of us. He's taken care of our basic needs. He's generous beyond expectations. He's given us space to be ourselves. He's forgiven us over and over and over again. And he loves us all equally. Even though we're all very different, I'm thankful that I have a Heavenly Father like that. Aren't you? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for being our Father. And we thank you for sending your Son to show us how to live. In your precious name we pray. Amen. If you haven't heard anything else I have said today, I want you to hear me now. If you do not know the Heavenly Father as your Savior, I want to extend an invitation for you to come and accept Him today as your Lord and Savior.